Today we celebrate the fourth Sunday of the season of Lent, and Lent is that time of self-reflection when we have the opportunity to look at life and look at how we live our lives and how it compares in the Christian faith. Throughout this time, we've been looking at spiritual growth one step at a time. We've been talking about the significance of belief, the courage of faith, the recovery from poor choices. And if you weren't here for any of those, you can go on the website, www.graceunited.ca, and you can pick up any of those messages there. Next week, we're going to talk about living with purpose. How do we live with purpose? What is the purpose that God has created us to fulfill? But today, we're going to look at resources for dry times. Dry times in the Christian walk are not uncommon. And we heard a great story of an example of this that Nell read for us from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets of the people of Israel, and he was incredibly faithful to God. It was his job to make sure that the people of Israel followed in the pathway of God, and if they didn't, he was the one that would call them out. And so the people of Israel were not walking the way God had wanted, and so Elijah goes and calls out and challenges the people to live more in the Christ-like way. And of course, he gets himself into trouble with the king, King Ahab, and Jezebel. And he takes on the prophets of Baal, which are the prophets that they were worshiping. And these prophets of Baal were leading them away from God, and Elijah's challenging them. And earlier on in these chapters, you hear about all the interactions that take place, and there's this big sort of showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You have to read the chapter before to understand what happens there, but what happens is he defeats these prophets, and then the queen threatens him, and he takes off. And he's sitting under this tree, and he's tired. And he just says, God, I want to die. I've had it. I don't want to go any further. And God says, well, I want you to go and take a journey to Mount Sinai and go up into a cave. And so he's up there. He's feeling bad for himself. And God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And then you hear the story of Elijah. I'm the only one left. Everybody else has abandoned your ways. But I'm the last one to be faithful to you. And God says, go to the entrance of the cave and watch. And he goes to the cave, and all of a sudden there's this great wind. And rocks are falling down in front of the cave, and then there's this earthquake, and everything's shaking around. And then there's this huge fire that he blows up in front of him. Now Elijah, like the people of Israel, often saw God in these spectacular times, in these earth-shaking, amazing events that take place. And if you were listening and reading the story of Elijah, you would have seen some of that happen. He tells the king there's going to be this great drought. And then he says the drought's going to end, and all of a sudden, down came the rain. Then he lives with this lady and her son, and the son dies, and he raises the sun to life again. And so there's these spectacular things that Elijah was doing. And the people of Israel, up to this point, has seen God in the amazing, spectacular events. And God takes this time of dryness in Elijah's life to teach him something new, to help him understand something deeper. That God is not in just the amazing, spectacular things, but that God is in even the little things. And in this passage, this still, small voice. And it's an amazing passage that reshapes Elijah's understanding of how God interacts with the people and helps the people and himself to understand that God works in little ways as well. So I want to talk about this spiritual dryness and some signs. How would I know if I'm spiritually dry? Well, one of them is the feeling of distance from God. or have this idea that I'm here and God seems to be so far away. I just don't feel God anywhere close to me. Second characteristic might be this lack of joy, that there's no joy in your life. Things happen and you just sort of see them as kind of ho-hum, and there's no energy or joy in your living. Another characteristic is a sense of serving out of duty. I'm serving not because I want to, but because I have to. Somebody asked me and I couldn't say no. Lyle asked me if you'd do this, and I couldn't say no to him, so I'm doing it not because I want to do it, because I have to, or I feel like I have to. And I miss the whole purpose of serving. I miss the understanding of how this serving makes a difference in God's kingdom and in our world. Another one is negative thinking. People who just always see the glass half empty. Doesn't matter what they have, what's happening, they always see things negative. In the church, it's people who say, we can't do it that way, we don't do it that way here at Grace, or we've done that before. That's the trouble with being around a long time. Someone comes in and tries to do something new, and they go, well, we've done that before. 75 years ago, we tried that, and it didn't work. And it discourages people. Another is this sense of lack of meaning and purpose in life. I just don't understand the meaning of my life now. What is it that God's calling me to do? I perhaps knew what my meaning and purpose was before, in a different context, at a different time, but right now I have lost that sense of meaning and purpose. There's a great quote that I read from Viktor Frankl, who is a person who's had many difficult times. He said, life is never made unbearable by circumstances. That's a huge comment. Life is never made unbearable by circumstances. It's not about what's happening to you. Then he goes on to say, but only by lack of meaning and purpose. Life is unbearable when you don't understand the meaning and purpose of life now. Now, many of us have encountered these times of dryness single-handedly every once in a while, but when they gather as a collecting of two or three or four of them, then you really begin to say that I'm feeling that I don't have that sense of vitality that I would like. So dry times happen, and they're a normal part of a spiritual life. If you walk with Christ long enough, there'll be times of closeness, but there'll also be these times of uncertainty and dryness. Sometimes the dryness is because our spiritual relationship with God has slipped. We've let it slide. We've been distracted. We've been doing other things. We've been looking after kids, or looking after grandkids or parents, or we've been looking after, you know, the work and the careers that we're trying to get on track, and we've been so focused on other things that we've kind of put God over here in the periphery of our life. And all of a sudden, we don't seem to feel that faith in God really has much significance or relevance anymore. We have dry times in moments of stress and strain, like Elijah when he's trying to run away and save his life. And we have times of dryness in moments of crisis, when something happens in our life. Might be the loss of something or a loss of someone, could be a change in physical health and circumstances, but some kind of crisis hits us, and all of a sudden we feel like we have been abandoned by God, and we can't understand why this is happening to us at this time. And maybe we feel like we've been really faithful. You know, I've been a member of Grace Church for 30 or 40 years, and I've worked hard at Grace, and I've been trying to fulfill the ministry of Christ, and then something happens, and I say, why, God, has this happened to me now? Well, there's lots of examples in scriptures about this. In the 10th chapter of the book of Psalms, the first verse, David is the author, as most of you will know, says, "Oh Lord, why do you stand so far away?" David's going, "Lord, why are you so far away from me? Why are you way over there? Why do you hide when I'm in trouble?" And then later on, Psalm 13, he says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever?" David has this feeling that God has just forgotten his name, forgotten that he even exists. He says, "Is this going to be forever?" And then he goes, "How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day?" Those are statements of an individual who has hit dry spiritual times. And the question this morning is, what do we do when that happens? And this is a huge piece, because if you're not clear on how to respond to dry times, often what happens is it takes that person's faith away, and sometimes they never recover. But the first thing you do is realize that God's presence does not change. David said, "Why is God so far away?" And we have this idea of farness and closeness with God. And you hear it, people say, "You know, when I come in here, I feel God's closeness." And we have this idea that sometimes God's a long way away and sometimes God's very close by. But in reality, God's presence is always around us and in us. God is in the very fabric of creation. There is nothing that is created in which God cannot be seen in that living and beautiful beings. And I hope that today, when you looked out there, you saw the incredible nature of God in the snow. And God is in every fabric of life, every moment of living. There is no place you can go where God's presence is not there. And we're always surrounded with this presence. And in dry times, God is not the one who has changed. What usually has changed is me. And so in dry times, the question is, what is it that I do that will reconnect me, that will help me be more open to that eternal living spirit that is around me, but for some reason, I'm missing it? Well, there's a couple of things that we can do. The first is, do not fight the dry times. Often when people have this dry feeling, they get upset and they go, "I don't like this. I want this to change." And they do whatever they can to stop from feeling this dry time, this time of struggle. And what we want to do is not fight it as so much as to be mindful of it. Just to be about mindful of where you are and what it is that has shifted in you that you don't encounter God's presence anymore. And the other thing is to begin to notice the little things. And that's what God taught Elijah. He said, "Elijah, stop looking for me in the wind. Stop looking for me in the earthquakes. Stop looking for me in the fire. Stop looking for me in the spectacular things of life, and be aware that I'm present in the still, small voice, in the whisper, in the little things of living." Great quote here. It says, "Decide to see the sacred and miraculous everywhere, even in a grain of sand." And that's what I hope you did this morning. You saw the miraculous. You saw the sacred when you walked out the door this morning. And I hope it took your breath away to see the beauty of the snow on the branches and piled up on the fence rails. And we see the beautiful and the miraculous in everything because God is in the very fabric of life. even in the sand, the grain of sand. I wish I had the ability to give you a little grain of sand this morning. And if you look at sand and a little crystal, you go, well, that's not very impressive. But if you blow it up to 100 times the size, all of a sudden you see the mystery and the miraculous in even the tiniest things. And I wish for some way I could, have given you a grain of sand that you could carry with you for the rest of your life, because in that grain of sand is something much deeper than you can possibly imagine. And William Blake, a great teacher, said, heaven is in a grain of sand. See, in that tiny grain, wouldn't that be cool if you carried this grain of sand for the rest of your life, and you, every time you saw it, every time you felt it, you had an awareness that in this grain of sand is heaven. And the reason heaven is in the sand is because in the sand is God, God's presence. God is in everything, in the huge things, but also in the very small and tiny things. And so in times of spiritual dryness, it's about slowing down and seeing the miraculous in things around us. So in dry times, there's some things that we can do. First of all, step out of the normal pattern of life. We all have patterns. Most of your patterns are pretty similar every day. If we had Big Brother cameras in your house, we would see the same pattern in your household. You go get groceries usually at the same time. You go to the same place, or you go to the same five places trying to get a good deal, right? There's patterns in our life. And in times of dryness, we want to begin to change some of those patterns. You don't have to change anything, but just change something. Perhaps you get up a half an hour early, and you just put on a tea or a coffee, and you go sit at the table, and you look out the window, and you begin to see the wonder of creation. You see the buds coming out in the trees. You notice the birds and activity increasing. You see the wind blowing the branches. And in those minor things, and in this shift of your pattern, you begin to see God. You can also find times of solitude and silence, and that's really challenging for people because we live in a world of noise. We are so connected with technology that noise is all around us. It's literally impossible to avoid. Even the prayer meetings, I try to tell people, shut off your phone, because inevitably if I don't do that, we'll be in the middle of the prayer meeting and all of a sudden the phones will go off. And then all of a sudden the noise starts. And then we wonder, who's calling? Maybe I better take this. Or we look and say, oh, well, it's only Lyle. And we push the reject button. But we live in a world of noise. Radios in our cars. Televisions at home. Stereos in every room. Even when we go for walks, people have earphones hooked up to some kind of music or conversation. It's very hard for people to be still and to be in solitude and silence and to not listen into the noise of the world, but the whisper of the Eternal One, the whisper of the Spirit that will lift and encourage you where you are. A third thing in dry times that are helpful is spiritual nourishment. To begin to feed that deeper part of us, that soul part. The spiritual part resides in the subconscious of all of us. So most of the time you're not aware of your spirit. It's in the deeper part of the subconscious. And we can nourish it in various times, first of all by Scripture. Scripture is a great source to read some of the great stories and passages in the biblical material. Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter here, Jesus is talking about the little things. He says, why are you worried? Don't worry. He says, look at the birds. God feeds them. Look at the flowers. God clothes them. Jesus says, look at the little things and be amazed at the care and the wonder of God. And scriptures are filled with stories that nurture and strengthen us in times of dryness. Second thing is music. Music has a really powerful effect upon the subconscious mind. And in times of dryness, it's really helpful to make sure that you listen to music that soothes you, that calms you, that lifts you, that inspires you. And music actually changes the chemistry of our minds. And that's why we have music on Sunday morning. That's why we sing songs. The reason we have hymns is not because we're trying to fill 15 minutes so we don't have to listen to Lyle, although that's not a bad thing. We have music because it's in the sound of the organ. It's in the tones of the choir. It is in the words that we sing and the music that we sing that it touches at a deeper level in the subconscious, in our spirit. And sometimes when you have spiritual dryness, it's hard to pray. You know, you try to pray and, you know, you just can't get anything else out. And there's two things you can do. One is just to remain in silence and in prayer and listen. Listen to what's going on deeper inside you. Too often we think prayer is about talking. An important part about prayer is silence and listening. But the thing I do when I have times of dryness is I read other people's prayers. And I have a whole bunch of books of different people's prayers, and I'll read them just to be encouraged by their time of prayer. And sometimes it's a phrase, sometimes it's just a word. And when we read other people's prayers, it just begins to stir us. It begins to remind us about God. And sometimes in the ways that I've forgotten or the ways I've never realized before. And it's just in the reading of the other people's prayers that it begins to nourish me at a deep level. And the last way we can have spiritual nourishment is through the stories of the saints. Saints are a great resource of understanding the cycle of spirituality in our spiritual walks. And if you have a book of some of the saints, it's great to read them because it'll talk to you about their times of spiritual dryness. If you don't have any books, go on the internet, just type in Christian saints and you get 400 of them. Just pick one and start reading about their journey. And they'll tell you about times of dryness and what they did and how God touched them and renewed them in those moments. Mother Teresa has a good book. Actually, it came out after her death with some of the letters that she was writing to her spiritual companion and friend. And it talked about her dryness in her spiritual life. And for many years, she wrestled with this dryness. And often people see Mother Teresa and all the amazing things that she did, and they think that she must have been someone that was just, you know, that tight with God. But there was these large periods where she was found this dryness. And she never encountered Christ at the depth that she was looking for. And yet her faith carried her through that. And it's a wonderful book that speaks about how we can use her story to help us. And the very last thing is, in times of spiritual dryness, it's important to have community. That's why we have a community of faith. Now, the difficulty is, too many of us in the church believe that you come to church when things are okay, and that when you're wrestling with issues or in times of dryness, people don't come. It's specifically in the times of dryness that it's important to be here, because the community will lift you. The community will energize you. The music will stir you. The words might touch off something, or the prayers of the person leading might help you in those times of lowness. And it's precisely in the moments of dryness that we're called to come and worship God. And in the community, it's often helpful to have a spiritual friend, someone who walks with you. Spiritual nurturers accompany others on their spiritual journeys, listening deeply and helping them to discern how God is active and present in their lives. And if you have a spiritual companion, they are wonderful resources in times of dryness, because they can ensure you, they can pray for you, they can lift you, they can remind you that even though you do not know where God is, God knows where you are. And that will be enough. Two last comments. Our temptation in times of spiritual dryness is to seek any opportunity to make it go away. Nobody feels comfortable in times of spiritual dryness. In an effort to avoid these moments, we miss the hidden gifts and opportunity to grow and mature in our spiritual life. And Elijah is a case in point. If he had tried to avoid that time in the cave, if he had tried to go somewhere else, he would have missed the opportunity. He would have missed the gift for God to deepen his faith and to help him mature and to see and understand that God is in all things, even in the small whisper of a voice. And the very last thing is, if you are in a time of desert or spiritual dryness this morning, do not waste it. God is taking you through it for a reason. God wants to talk with you and prepare you for something new. See, dryness is part of the spiritual journey. And God uses those times to start something new in your life. Jesus was away 40 days in the wilderness, and when he came back, something new began. And he began his ministry that God had called him to. And so the challenge for you this morning is, if you're in a time of spiritual dryness, to not try to avoid it, but to be mindful of it, and to do what you can to remind yourself that God is never far away. In fact, God is around me and within me. And to do what you can to hear God and to encounter that presence in a new way, so that God can take you and deepen your faith, lift you and mature you, and send you off in a new way in the path that God has chosen. That path may be to a new ministry somewhere. It may be to a new understanding of spirituality. It might simply be a preparation for you to get ready to close the end of your physical life. But all dryness leads to something new for those who trust in Christ and walk with God no matter what. So my hope this morning is that you will be encouraged, and that when those times of dryness come, that you will use them as an opportunity to transform, to change yourself, to learn, to have new insight, and prepare for what God has planned for you in the next step and stage of your life.